A Tempo is a production of the Classical Network and is made possible by the support of listeners like you. Thank you for your support.
Welcome to A Tempo, the Classical Network spotlight on the arts and culture. I'm Rachel Katz, and I'm your host as we explore the changes at work in the performing arts. Each week, I'll bring you some of the latest news and also take time to examine many of the issues that are challenging arts organizations and institutions. Today, we'll get another update on the possible future of Westminster Choir College. 2 weeks after announcing that it was negotiating with Beijing-based Kaiwen Educational Technology Company, Rider University held several forums with alumni and parents to address some of the many questions that have been raised. I'll speak with Westminster Dean Marshall Onofrio about some of these questions, and also with Constance Fee, a member of Westminster's Alumni Council, about some of the lingering concerns regarding the college's future. As part of A Tempo, we're pleased to bring you some of the news from around the world of the performing arts. The arts added $763.6 billion to the U.S. economy in 2015, employing nearly 5 million people, according to the latest data released by the National Endowment for the Arts. The report, based on data from the NEA and the U.S. Bureau of Economic Analysis, found that the arts accounted for 4.2% of GDP, adding four times more to the economy than agriculture. The industry saw a $20 billion trade surplus, helped by overseas distribution and sales of movies, TV programs, and jewelry. Nonprofit performing arts organizations added $9 billion to the economy, and audience members paid $31.6 billion to attend performing arts events across the country. Haydn's The Creation, a performance by professional and amateur singers premiering a work by John Luther Adams in Central Park, and yes, performances of Mozart's symphonies are on the program of this year's Mostly Mozart Festival, as Lincoln Center expands the summer program to run over the course of 4.5 weeks. The longer festival comes after Lincoln Center last fall announced it would no longer hold its Lincoln Center Festival. Among the performances lined up for the summer include a revival of Available Light by choreographer Lucinda Childs, composer John Adams, and architect Frank Gehry, a production of Leonard Bernstein's Mass, and performances of Mozart's Jupiter Symphony, Prague Symphony, and Requiem by the Mostly Mozart Festival Orchestra. The festival will open July 12th. Those are just some of the headlines this week from around the arts world. Late last month, Rider University finally identified the potential buyer for Westminster Choir College, renowned throughout the music world for its historic performance and educational legacy, as the Beijing-based Kaiwen Educational Technology Company, a subsidiary of Bada Chu Holdings Group. The Chinese state-owned company has interests in real estate, building materials, and venture capital, but in recent years has begun to build an educational arm through Kaiwen in K-12 schools in China. While the announcement answered one of the major questions parents, students, and alumni have had about Rider's plans for Westminster, it raised a whole host of new ones. Last weekend, Westminster Dean Marshall Onofrio held two webcast sessions to address parents and alumni and update them on the proposed sale. I spoke with Onofrio about the sessions and some of these questions, including what would make Kaiwen a good match to take on and continue Westminster's legacy.
From the beginning, our first choice has been to find a partner that wishes to keep Westminster Choir College and its two affiliates, the Conservatory and Continuing Education, operating in Princeton. Kaiwen brought that proposal forward. They want all three elements of the operation. They want to keep it in Princeton, New Jersey, and they want to enhance the already fairly substantial reputation of those elements. So from the beginning, the question was, all right, what does that mean? In our conversations, we have included everything from exchange of faculty and students, the resources needed for Westminster to thrive in the 21st century, what it might mean for the conservatory, which is our most direct connection to the greater Princeton community and enhance that particular connection, and the future of continuing education in an increasingly online educational market. From the beginning, they have given us great answers to how some things like that might work. They have shown themselves to be very curious, very open to our current operations, very open to suggestions from us about how our partnership might go forward. They have accepted recommendations for consultants who could assist them in this process, and they have stayed in very good contact with us throughout the process.
What is their vision for Westminster? What are they looking to use Westminster as?
So as you may be aware, their educational operation in China does not include higher education. They are a K-12 operation. Kaiwan Education currently operates two K-12 units, if you will, what you and I might know as school districts. They are in the process of building three more. They have to date constructed campuses that are based on the AP or Advanced Placement curriculum and also the IB or International Baccalaureate curriculum. Those two curricula are known worldwide. They are very useful, of course, in the United States. Those two operations have a combination of sports and arts impetus. And they are looking for a place in the United States for graduates in particular of their arts programming, particularly music, to be able to study at the higher education level in the United States. They are quite aware of the reputation of the choir of Westminster Choir College in that domain, and they know that there will be many students seeking to come here to study voice, to study piano and organ, sacred music, sing in our choirs, get a chance to be at Lincoln Center and Carnegie Hall and the Kimmel Center and so on. Their vision is to take what is already out there, to continue our prestigious performances with the world's great orchestras, but to enhance the program by increasing our worldwide footprint.
Well, as far as the music education, certainly that's a major component of Westminster. You mentioned the secular, the organ. To some extent, there is a certain amount of culturally based context to that. It may not necessarily be religious per se, but sacred music has a very strong place in Western and American culture. How does that translate? How does Kaiwen see the role of traditional American, Western, predominantly sacred music fitting into the type of music that their students might be wishing to pursue?
Let me speak a little bit more broadly at first and narrow it down as we go. So they understand all of what Westminster offers. We have shown them all of our curricula. They have access to our catalog. They know what each of our actual major programs seeks to accomplish. They know where our graduates are literally around the world. So we've discussed each of those curricula in fair detail. With regard to classical music, the locus of classical music has moved very heavily to Asia. China is one of the more prominent in that particular movement. Western classical music is growing in great popularity as we speak. There are literally millions of students studying piano and violin. The actual construction of pianos is now heavily in China. They are eclipsing the rest of the world in the number of instruments being produced. Their interest in classical music is quite broad, and it does range, as you say, from the sacred to the secular. With regard to your specific questions about sacred music and organ, I asked the direct question, what is their understanding of and their interest in our sacred music program? And the answer has been that there are many churches operating in China, and the number of churches is growing. Those churches seek to do more in sacred music, and they need help. They need experienced people to help them to learn about sacred music, to learn how to teach it, incorporate it into liturgical ceremonies, and so on. They know our great heritage of doing that. We have several alumni currently teaching in Korea, in Taiwan, and in China. And they know that the training that our students receive in that field. They're very interested in the fact that about 8 months ago, we launched a brand new Master of Music, Sacred Music Practical Track, which is done online. A student needs to visit our campus one time for 3 months, for three weeks. Other than that, they are able to complete the curriculum entirely online. They see all of these as helping the Chinese population to develop those skills. Organ is also growing. The piano field in China is exploding, literally millions of young children studying, and many of them are now also beginning to look at organ. So our long and illustrious heritage, I think if you were to go into any of the major denominations in the United States, chances are good you're with someone who either studied at Westminster or who studied with someone who did study at Westminster. So again, they're aware of our great reputation, the developed curricula that we've had for 92 years, and what we can do to assist them. So this is a bit back to your first question about why are they a fit? They are interested in this being a true partnership. How can our faculty and students help them, in particular with their K-12 operation? How can they help us by providing resources, having students who wish to come and study at a very prestigious music school?
Well, and that brings into kind of, into play a number of questions about operations, the makeup of the staff, the makeup of the students. First of all, who do they envision as the future students of Westminster in terms of balance of students drawn from the U.S. versus students drawn from China and other international locations?
That came up actually in several meetings this past weekend. And it's very clear that the partner is aware of those concerns, first of all. But more importantly, the partner made it very clear that in order for the program here to be attractive to students from China, there is an appropriate balance of Chinese versus other international populations, including American. And what we're looking at right now is increasing the current international population, which represents between 6 and 10% of the current student body, to perhaps between 10 and 20%. But what's important is that will not replace current students. That will be in addition to. So in other words, growing the enrollment by also adding international students from China and other countries. We have had a long history of students coming to us from Asia, from now the South American and Caribbean areas. There was a time when we had a lot of students from Iceland, oddly enough, and we still had some as recently as 2 years ago. So to increase generally the international population, but to keep it within an appropriate balance so that the programs are in fact attractive to those international students.
As far as administration, what's the sense about who will be making the decisions about curriculum, about that balance? How much of that will remain within Westminster as opposed to being really what's part of a major corporation?
The parent company, if you will, as happens in so many things in America today, will have several companies below it. Many of them are involved in other domains, real estate, so on and so forth. The actual company, Kaiwen Education, that is their educational arm, will be establishing a nonprofit corporation in New Jersey for the express purpose of operating Westminster Choir College. Currently, and we expect that something very similar will go forward, the curriculum is in the hands of the faculty. They develop the curricula, they approve it, they do renovations, improvements, revisions, so on and so forth of those curricula. Those are then recommended to the administration, which then is in a position to review what those things might cost, how they would be handled, what's a good timetable, so on and so forth. So we anticipate that the faculty involvement in curricular development will remain central to this entire operation. The Choir College will actually have an administrative position. The partner has indicated their interest in retaining the faculty and the staff and the students of Westminster Choir College and Westminster Conservatory. That's very critical, obviously, to the consistency of the program. It is, I think, an indication that they understand that the brand is the people. So if we are justifiably well respected for what we produce in our music education major, in our choirs, in our piano and organ programs, that's because of the talent of the students we attract and the incredible skill, experience, and reputation of our faculty.
One question that's been hanging over a lot of what has been going on is the question of the status of the land. And there is the one lawsuit that's currently looking to block the sale completely on the basis that the deed, the original deed that gave Westminster the land, among some of the conditions are its dedication to sacred music and some other related issues. If that lawsuit is treated in such a way that this sale is allowed to go through, to what extent will that deed provision, that restriction, carry over, and how could that potentially shape what Kaiwen wants to do.
It would be inappropriate for me to comment on any litigation in process. What I can say to you is, as with any transaction, everything from buying a home or a car to, in this particular case, the land on which Westminster Choir College sits, the closing of the actual transaction cannot happen until every challenge has been resolved. Mm-hmm. So the answer to your question about how it might affect the future remains to be seen. That's all part of how the actual resolution will take place for any challenge to this transaction.
And you mentioned that they're looking to retain, you know, much of the staff. Are you planning to stay on and remain after the sale?
It would be inappropriate of me to mention that as well until actual offers are made to all the faculty and staff.
The Chinese business market is far from transparent. There are a lot of gray areas. There's quite a large, complex corporate structure. The parents, many alumni, you know, look at this and are really having a hard time understanding how an international corporation that has so little transparency, even less transparency certainly than corporate and business rule in the U.S., what are some things that you want to reassure them? Why should they relax right now at a time when they are very concerned about the future of either the school they're proud of and they graduated from, or the school they may want to send their children to?
This past Sunday, Larry Livingston, who has been engaged as the project manager by Kaiwen Education, Larry and I sat together and did two separate one-hour webcasts, one to parents of current and prospective students, and the other to alumni. And in fact, everything you've just asked came up during those conversations. What I think I was able to provide that gave them a great deal of comfort, judging by the emails I've gotten since, are some of these details. One, although Kaiwen does not have any direct experience in higher education, they do have experience of some longstanding in education. Two, they recognize that the faculty and staff of the Choir College and the Conservatory and Continuing Ed are experienced professionals who do know higher education. They have brought in Larry Livingston, a person of some 45 years experience in arts administration, particularly running some very prestigious music schools. Number four, as they look at who we have been, who we are, and who we might become, they have been very transparent on the level of, we want to maintain the substantial proportion of what is operating right now. Westminster Choir College has a great history. We want that to continue. We also want to provide the resources to ensure a healthy future in the 21st century. They have indicated that at the point of transfer, all students who are then students of Westminster Choir College or who have been accepted for the next year's class will have their financial aid continued in force. They will be, in the aggregate, providing the same type of financial aid. That was a very important piece of information for the parents who want to know, first of all, will we be here? And secondly, how will I continue to afford to send my student to Westminster Choir College? So that part was very, very helpful. Mm-hmm. The alumni were very interested in, again, continuing the legacy of Westminster. They asked questions very similar to those you have already asked, particularly about the future of what I will call long-standing legacy programs, such as organ and sacred music. And I was able to provide the same information I've said here earlier, and I think that was a great comfort to them, that this is not an attempt to come in, buy something, and next week it's completely different. That is absolutely not their intention whatsoever. What I can tell you in all of my dealings with the partner and the representatives is that they are very curious. They are hungry to learn about how higher ed works in the United States. They are hungry to interact with that so that both parties come out of this with a solid and secure future. One of the representatives of the company, in speaking the other day at many of these sessions, said, this transaction cannot succeed unless both parties succeed. And that's a very, very important perspective on this. They succeed only if Westminster succeeds at what we are, what we may become. And I think that was very helpful to both the alumni and the parents to hear that there is this deep commitment to continuing.
You know, I know a number of the programs that Westminster does and produce and puts on performances are supported by various forms of grants, NEA, among others. Have there been discussions about the extent to which, even in the with the formation of a New Jersey-based nonprofit organization, any concerns about how that mix of funding might change and whether or not the proposed and promised investment from Kaiwen will, you know, keep moving that forward and might adjust and might will change the mix of how programs at Westminster are funded?
Well, the key part of this is you mentioned nonprofit. That's what's very important here. The partner very early on realized that in the United States, the distinction between for-profit and nonprofit is quite evident, shall we say, in higher education. So in our particular case, the ability to continue as a nonprofit is what will help guarantee the continuity of grant funding, Title IV funding for federally based financial aid, and so on. Westminster, in a sense, will be returning to a pre-1991 status. It will be considered now separate from Rider University. So Westminster Choir College will have its own accreditation, its own licensure in the state of New Jersey, its own standing with, as you say, foundations and other supporting institutions. We will have the same ability to apply for all that as we have had. And as a result, I anticipate not very much change in what we seek. There could be a difference in funding only because the kinds of things we can go after as an independent school of music, as opposed to a branch campus of Rider, will be subtly different. So there may, in fact, even be greater opportunity for grant funding under those particular situations.
Certainly, there have been synergies with Rider. Rider certainly benefited when it acquired Westminster and what it could offer its students, and it has seen its own arts program grow tremendously. Is there any discussion at this point about possible partnerships and agreements that would enable some continuity, or would this be a complete and total break for Rider?
It will not be a total and complete break at this point. We have been discussing exactly what you were asking about. You may not know, but prior to the merger back in 91, there already had been an academic partnership between Rider and Westminster. So to assume that that might continue in the future is not a very big stretch at all. And in fact, because of the synergies that have been happening, the interaction of students, faculty, staff, and so on, we are looking at that right now. How might such a partnership continue to benefit not only both institutions, but most importantly, the students of both institutions? So those discussions are going on right now.
That was Marshall Onofrio, Dean of Rider University's Westminster College of the Arts. Constance Fee is a member of the Westminster Choir College Alumni Council, one of the organizations that has followed developments and raised questions about Rider's plans, including whether other options for spinning off the choir college might be feasible. She said the forum was helpful, but as much for the questions it didn't answer as for the information it provided.
One of the main reactions was, we're finally being acknowledged and we are finally being given the opportunity to ask direct questions. Many were answered, some were not. Some of the answers were satisfying, but many still seem so vague and seem to always start with, it seems that, or we feel that such and such, or we believe that something might happen. We want substance, and that is still a starving hunger that has not been fed.
The Alumni Council has sent a list of very specific questions now to Dean Onofrio. What are some of the major questions that you really feel need to be answered now?
Number one, how are you going to revitalize applications for students who are looking at colleges? I mean, our applications are down. How are they going to help revitalize interest in the school? How are faculty going to be treated? What will the effect be on curriculum? Will the sacred music and organ programs be maintained? What effect is this having on our students now, this whole process? Why are we putting them through this, you know, it's incredibly disturbing and upsetting to the students and to their process. We hope it's not affecting them and that they can go on and do their work and practice and go to rehearsals and enjoy every moment of this wonderful experience they're having at Westminster. For instance, we understand that they're planning on building huge dormitories on campus if they get the Princeton zoning. Are they going to, because this has a K through 12 aspect, are they going to have pre-collegiate on campus? Are they going to require students to, I mean, it might seem like an odd question to ask, but, you know, how much Chinese influence is there going to be on the curriculum in terms of language and other, you know, cultural programs they might want to bring in? We just don't know how Westminster is going to retain its identity as Westminster, which is our primary concern, that it be what it is.
One major question that underlies a lot of the discussions is that of alternatives and options. And as you mentioned, there's been a sense that without the transparency that you would have liked, there really is no idea, first of all, to know if there were other options, domestic or international. But at this point, what has been the sense of what other options there might have been for Ryder to pursue in terms of to preserve Westminster more in closer keeping with what at least you and a number of alumni and parents would like to see?
I think there's a strong yearning for Westminster to be independent again. And speaking for myself personally, I would like to investigate every possible option and possibility to pursue that.
You know, there have been a number of steps taken by various parties who are interested in pursuing some of these other options. There is a lawsuit that's working its way through the courts currently. From the position of the Alumni Council, what type of path ahead do you see as in terms of next steps and what you're hoping to hear?
One of the major problems for us is the fact that we are told that we cannot be given the terms. We cannot be told what the terms are in this arrangement until it is signed, sealed, and delivered and done. That's too late for us. We are not going to give support for this unless we know what those terms are before, because then there's nothing we can do after the deal is done. Then it's too late.
That was Constance Fee, a member of the Westminster Choir College Alumni Council. More information on Westminster and the negotiations can be found at rider.edu/WCC update. In the interest of full disclosure, WWFM has arrangements with Westminster to broadcast many of its performances, and Mercer County Community College, which owns WWFM's license, has various agreements with Rider University for students to take courses and live in its dormitories. I personally am a member of the Westminster Community Orchestra, a program run through the Westminster Conservatory. I hope you enjoy these conversations that I bring you each week, focusing on the changing dynamics and challenges of the arts world. Remember, though, that programs like A Tempo are made possible only through your support of this station. To become a member of the Classical Network, go to wwfm.org and click on Donate. Thank you for being a member of the global listening community that is the Classical Network. Thank you for listening to A Tempo. I'm your host and producer, Rachel Katz. Join me again next week as we explore more issues and trends in the world of the performing arts. A Tempo is a production of the Classical Network and is made possible by the support of listeners like you.